Welcome back to the Man Catholic Podcast. I'm Steve Priest.
I'm Thomas Wirtz.
And I'm Brock Martin.
Today we're talking about Game of Thrones and Rocky Mountain Oysters. This time. This episode is sponsored by the Camino of Maryland, 14 days and 218 miles, continuing 1,500 years of Camino traditions. The Camino Santiago out in Spain is an incredible pilgrimage, but you can join a Camino right here in the United States out in Maryland. For more information, please visit camino-md.org to Camino here in Maryland. Registration is now open to join the Camino in Maryland in June 10th through the 23rd in 2024. Again, to register, you can go to camino-md.org. I have never had Rocky Mountain oysters. Have you guys?
Yeah. I did once at a Rockies game.
No, it's not that I don't want to. I actually am interested.
I don't want to. Don't do it.
But you have.
I will DoorDash some right now.
Do it. I call your bluff.
From where?
Any bar around here has them, I guarantee
what?
You.
What? Oh, I bet there's a great place actually down the street that I bet has them.
Biker's Bar.
I'm on it. It's called, call it 5280, something like that.
Just get some ranch. You gotta have something to dip them in. They're a little dry.
Okay, so there was an article.
Hold on. What are Rocky Mountain oysters? Walk us through this.
Oh my gosh. And they're deep fried bull testicles.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty tasty.
No, they're not. They're gross. It's just you.
Thomas, I think you
maybe
just
it was psychological
thing. Yeah, I think.
Okay, order
which
them
is
and
what
see.
We're talking
order
about
them
today.
And see. Hopefully
like,
they come
why
while
do
we're
guys
recording.
Eat these things?
And, yeah, that's a good question.
And I think you're maybe a little.
I don't.
Okay, while
it.
Steve orders.
Okay,
Thomas tees up.
So AmericanCompass.org. My brother sent this article out. It's called Men's Realism. These guys do a really interesting job critiquing kind of the masculinity crisis. And one of the points that I thought was fascinating is they talk about something that I guess I realized by observing Netflix and Amazon Prime and the TV shows, but didn't really fully understand this idea of vitalism or the manosphere. There's this social media personality called the Bronze Age Pervert. And these guys, millions of men are following these. You said another name.
Andrew Tate.
Is he the guy?
He's kind of a famous in this vein.
Got it. So this, what they do is they bring kind of they go back to a more
primitive.
Primitive version of masculinity, right? Where they're eating raw animal testicles. They're talking about wrestling, which nothing wrong with that. But this pirate, this adventurer, this sailor, this knight, this Napoleon figure, and just making masculinity really vitriol. Is that the right way to say it?
Vitriol.
That? Vitriol. Where they're going back to some of these more primitive things, and men are being drawn to that. And it's fascinating because...
Viral, not vitriol.
Viral? Very masculine, whatever the word is. I just think it's fascinating because, again, millions of followers, and these guys are doing this thing where they're doing 14-day fasting regimens, workout, like stuff that's in and of itself could be very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But the root is not rooted in God and our true identity as men, as sons and daughters, as sons of God, right? It's
right.
Just this kind of a twisted thing, but it's gaining popularity. And when you look out at the culture today, especially as Christians, and you see, as we've talked a lot about, and a lot of people are talking about this masculinity crisis, men aren't coming to churches, Christian churches, or they're not very masculine men, or men are just getting sucked dry with pornography and video games, and they're just limp.
Yep.
And then you see men being drawn to this kind of movement. I just thought it was fascinating to kind of flesh that out.
No, I think... you mentioned the broader culture, and I do think that really starting with the sexual revolution and the feminist movement, the broader culture is kind of like fertilized for this type of stuff, because everywhere men go, they told that they're not good enough, that that nobody wants them, that women are preferred to them in basically every aspect, that they need to kind of like shut up every aspect of their masculinity. They're told that their desires are all bad. They're told that all these different things. And I think that this is a pendulum shift from guys who've kind of grown up in this environment. Now, obviously, I think, as you mentioned, some of these things are good things. But the movement as a whole to this kind of, you mentioned like neo-paganism. And obviously this, I think, really comes out in TV shows like Game of Thrones, which I have never seen. I've heard enough about it to say that if you haven't, I don't think you should. But I think that there's something in a masculine heart that doesn't have God as its anchor that's attracted to this. Because if the alternative is feminism, guys are going to, they're eventually going to pick this. because it's vastly preferable to just being stomped on the ground. And I don't know.
Yeah, no, Game of Thrones, that's why I was in the title. There's, you go on to Amazon, Netflix, there's multiple TV shows with that are set in the Viking age. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, that's cool. Again, it's kind of attractive to me too. These guys are, obviously they were religiously pagan and I don't admire them in that way and very vicious, but their masculine prowess is pretty cool, right? Those guys were tough dudes, obviously going for the wrong things.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah, the draw, again, rooted in some truth, but it's, I think it's twisted. But to the same question though is, well, how do we as Christian men draw on those good,
yeah,
attributes that are attracting men, but correct it?
No, and I think it's a very Christian question, because Christianity in every culture squeezes the goodness out of that, right? Like, to be able, it reminds me of, there's a philosophical movement called Stoicism that's really popular. And if you go and you read some of the old Stoics like Seneca or Marcus Aurelius, like you'll read some of these quotes and you're like, holy cow, this sounds very Christian. You know, it's about like, don't get so caught up in the things that aren't in your control. Like stop pursuing your emotions to the detriment of your health. And you're like, wow, these are like kind of good principles. But at its root, Stoicism is an atheistic philosophy. And so you can't just buy Stoicism hook, line, and sinker. But I do think you can take very good things out of Stoicism. And I think similar to this movement, there are good things. It's good for men to be physically fit. It's good for men to be able to defend ourselves and our families. It's good for men to, I don't know, provide and fight and do all these things that this movement kind of holds up as the most important things in the world. But they're not the most important thing in the world. The most important thing in the world is, do you have a relationship with the Savior of the universe? Because you can get all that stuff right. If you don't have a relationship with God, you lose. And you could have a relationship with God and get all the rest of this stuff wrong and still win. And so yeah. I think that's where you gotta toe the line.
But I think that's the question then, is why should we even pursue that then? Why not just pursue the relationship with God? But I think what Thomas is saying is there's goodness there. There yeah. actually is goodness to make the body that God gave us a healthy one, right? And to not mistreat it, right? Mm-hmm. There's goodness there. There's truth, beauty, and goodness in that. There's goodness in, yeah, wanting to garden and protect your family, to provide for your family. So it's funny because it's a both and, right? It's a both and. So as Catholics, we rarely fall into the either or dilemma, but we're finding that both and, that we are called to be in relationship with Jesus and to live the life that he gave us to the fullest.
Yep.
And I think this is a big part of it, which is why, yeah, I love movies like that too. You know, there's new shows coming out all the time where I'm like, oh, that looks cool. And my wife's like, no. I'm not interested.
But doesn't that get you a little riled up when you actually stop and think, like, all these really cool Viking shows that are like, whoa, really entertaining. Like, there's, what about Judas Maccabeus and some of these Old Testament figures? Or what about some of the, and again, this is why I think World War II movies are so spectacular, because it's truly the good guys fighting the evil, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure there's some twisted somewhere, but for the most part, these are just real heroic men that lay their life down in amazing ways. But there's a lot of really good Christian movies out there. Why aren't we making those? And I think there's actually one coming out about Maximilian Kolbe.
Yeah.
That they're doing a fundraising right now effort to help launch it, but trying to really make that really raw and real as it was and show his masculine strength, even in the midst of Auschwitz serving his fellow prisoners. But everyone wants to know, did you get the Rocky Mountain Oysters order? Did you find
it? No, there's none close enough, guys. I tried. I did look.
That'll be a post episode summary.
We'll have to get together somewhere and find those.
The other thing is, I think it's interesting because a lot of men are becoming Muslim. Like, they're not having as much of a male crisis, if you will, in terms of recruitment.
Wait, what do you mean? Sorry, that's new to me. A lot of men in the U.S. are becoming
just
Muslim?
World. Well, I think worldwide they have a big draw for men. It's, what is it, the fastest growing religion in the world, I think, isn't it?
I have not heard that.
The numbers are huge. They haven't surpassed Christianity worldwide yet, I don't think, but Brock's going to look that up. But I think they're growing really quickly, and a lot of it is the men. And again, there's this way more twisted, I think, than even this manosphere kind of movement. But again, there is something. Men like gangs. They're drawn to gangs when they don't understand.
I think they're drawn to community.
Yes, not and I gangs, think that's right. I think that's fundamentally
brotherhood and a guy who's going to be there for you. And you know, when I think about World War II and kind of that hands-on battle approach, the talk. My grandfather died just after World War II. My dad was in the service. You always hear about being who's in your foxhole. Being in a foxhole is another guy, and you got got to be in a foxhole with a guy that you can trust because he's trusting you. And that is like brotherhood, you know, to the extreme. Yet so much more is a brotherhood who's going to help you walk with Christ. But there's so much goodness in that. And I don't think what we're trying to say is the manly secular movies are bad. No, there's something good there. They're fine to go watch, obviously, if they're pure and things like that. I think I've watched one episode of Game of Thrones and I asked someone, like, does this nudity stuff like go away? And they're like, no. And I was like, why would we watch it then? And so I stopped watching it. But, you know, there's great shows out there that can help us. You know, some of the classic ones from when I was in college, Braveheart and Gladiator. Like, yeah. Those are just super manly Band of Brothers. Classic. That whole series is super good. Go watch those. Learn what it's like to be a man. I just started the movie 42 about Jackie Robinson.
That's a good show.
Screening it, see if my son and I can watch it. And it's a great story.
Brutal how they treated him, I think, right? If I remember right.
I just got 20 minutes into it. There are great stories. Now, the best stories, as you said, Thomas, are the lives of the saints. Like, those are just epic. And unfortunately, Hollywood doesn't want to make movies about them as much. But I think that's why The Chosen has taken off in a lot of ways, because we get to see the humanity of these great, great actors, apostles portrayed by actors. And we've never really been able to kind of see that come to life outside of Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. You know, and then there's some really old ones that I think are cheesy and corny, but I don't know. There's something really exciting about adventure and being a man and pursuing greatness I think the last thing is welding those two things together.
Yep.
Being a man while we're here on this earth in our bodies and pursuing Christ with reckless abandon.
But I want to go back to what both of you said. You kind of had the dichotomy of if you don't have a relationship with Christ, but everything else you lose. If you have a relationship with Christ and none of the other things, you still are in the right spot. But to your point, and I don't think you disagree, but it is the both and, right? And I think the fullness of understanding why we are as we are, why our physical body is made as it is. And I think that's what's drawing men to eat raw animal testicles for testosterone and boost, I think, is part of the reason why they do that. And I think maybe you guys can talk about your experience.
Men's testosterone is down compared to
maybe not Thomas's
50 years ago. Yeah, Thomas is a specimen.
You guys
to stallion to behold. He grows a beard just to prove he can, and it looks terrible. But
when we were struggling with infertility, I was taking Orchic PMG, which is like refined bull testicle to increase testosterone and stuff. But
did you dip it in ranch?
No, that was just in pill form. Okay. But I think that so there's a Catholic principle here that I think helps us think about this, and that is the fact that grace builds on nature.
Yeah. Yes, I love that.
And what does that remember. Mean? Well, I remember that back, so I want to take a step back. A couple years ago, probably 6-7 years ago now, I was a regional director with Focus, so working with college students on the East Coast. And I remember at the beginning of one of the school years, I got to sit on a Bible study that one of the missionaries was leading. And over the summer, these men had committed to read The 12 Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. Now, I think Jordan Peterson is not as, I think he's a much, much more favorable to the gospel than, say, Andrew Tate or some of these, I don't know, other guys that you're referencing. But at the time, there were some people who were like, you got to be really careful with Jordan Peterson because this can really help guys, but this is not the gospel. This is not going to save their souls. But I remember going around this room and this guy was like, I had been depressed for 4 years and I read this book and this is the first summer of my life that I'm not depressed. A guy who's talking about playing video games for 10 hours a day, read this book, no more video games, like gave it up, threw his system away. Men had started committing to daily prayer. Like there's a reality that men do need to be challenged to live excellent lives. And I think that young men in particular are starving for older men to teach them how to be men, because what we get in media is not authentic masculinity. I think young men are smart enough to pick up on that. Mm-hmm. And so we're starving for men to teach us how to be men. And that's where guys like Jordan Peterson, who I'm a big fan of, I think this stuff is awesome, but you have to qualify that with being naturally excellent will never save your soul. And yes, I think there is a danger because pride is the root of all sin. It's the sin that caused Lucifer to fall. I think there is a danger that when you start pursuing this stuff, you can start to think that, hey, I'm hot stuff. I'm saving myself, or even more dangerously, I don't need a savior because my life is so excellent. And so that's the dichotomy is like,
which is what I hate about this like self-help book, this self-help nation that we have right now. Like just grab the bull by the horns, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You are good enough. If you want it, go get it. I hate it because I think that's what happens, Brock, is the approach that we take turns into this, it's about me approach instead of this reliance experience and surrender to someone else.
Well said.
But I would still, like, I would recommend our listeners go read 12 Rules for Life.
Don't get me wrong. I enjoy self-help books. Don't get me wrong. Like, no, I don't. I enjoy some professional development books.
Yeah.
And I haven't read that one. And so I'm not saying anything about that. And what I'm also not saying, just like the movies, they're not inherently bad. But if you get absorbed in...
We're in total agreement.
Yep. ...into the self-help attitude, you just miss... You miss life in the way that God wants you to live it.
To your point, Steve, grabbing the bull by the Rocky Mountain oysters, but...
By the balls.
So go back and listen to the Fatherhood episode with Dr. Jonathan Reyes to Brock's point of the vision, many the vision. But I do think fundamentally, again, guys are frustrated because they've been told, I'm assuming, and you kind of, I think maybe both of you talked about this, but for so long we've been told masculinity is bad, suppressed, all the pieces. You can go into the education system, how it works and how it suppresses young boys, whatever different piece you want to focus on. But there is that reality of men are confused, young men especially, and why am I as I am?
Yep.
And these movements are answering some of that on the natural level. And I think this might be why Exodus 90 is also so beautiful, because it speaks to some of this, but it orders it rightly into our relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so it's just a shout out for guys considering Exodus 90. If you haven't done it, if you have not done it yet, consider it. If you don't know what it is, look up Exodus 90. But one of the other pieces that we talk a lot about, and I'll just kind of end my comments and see if you guys want to jump on this or just cut it, is another piece. Steve, you mentioned this, sorry, with the gang comment, is the fraternal piece. And like, men are drawn to this because, again, they're around other men being men. And that's important for us as men. Mm-hmm. We hunt in gangs. We do these things around other men. And find your band of brothers. Again, we've said this many other episodes, but find that and pursue what it means to be a man, but a man of God, a son of God, not just a man that eats raw animal testicles and wrestles. That's not all of it. That's not the fullness of it. But find the men, find the accountability, and just pursue Christ in that full masculine way that can mirror aspects of this movement, but correct it and do it as a son.
Yep. Yeah. No, I think that's great, because there's an ordering to our life, and a number of the priests that we've interviewed on here have talked about this, right? Like, your relationship with God has to come first, and then you have to look at your relationship to your spouse or your vocation. If you're not in your vocation yet, then discerning your vocation has a pride of place. But then it's to your brothers and to your peers and to your children, obviously, before that, if you have children. And I think that can help us kind of prioritize some of this stuff. We are called to be naturally excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But if you being in the gym every morning is keeping you from praying every day, you actually need to stop doing what you're doing. Like, you need to make room to pray first. You need to make room for your relationship with God first. And I think that ordering can kind of help with some of this.
Yep.
But again, I think that concept that grace builds on nature. And the last, I want to share... I've talked about this on a different episode, but the parable of the 10 talents, I think, is really helpful, where Jesus, you know, he gives the one talent, the two talents, and the five talents. Mm-hmm. You know, the master goes away and he comes back. The guys who actually multiplied their talents are the ones that the master says, well done, my good and faithful servant.
Not just the ones who protected it.
Exactly. So we are called to be spiritually excellent first, but that does not mean that you are called to be spiritually excellent and you're not called to be
only
physically excellent or materially excellent. Like, no,
we're body,
God
soul.
Has actually called you to be excellent, period. Now, there's an order, as we just said, but once that order is in place, you should try to multiply what you've been given. You should
flourish,
try to be
fully.
As excellent as you can.
Two quick practicals that I'm taking away. First thing we need to do is make sure that our relationship with Christ is priority and that we are living that excellently, that we are praying regularly, we are visiting the sacraments, we're sharing the faith, but that is by far the priority, and that we are living lives through a ordered, moderate sense of masculinity, that we are not gym rats above all else, that we are not absorbed in self-help, how do I become excellent in the world and just make a crap load of money or whatever it is, and we're not just trying to become super macho manly men and being absorbed in video games or movies or media, that we're actually embracing those things more appropriately, but we're not being consumed by them. Mm-hmm. I think those are some of my takeaways.
Yeah, I love it. No, fun conversation, guys. Thanks for jumping in on that with me. And what's up with the Vikings?
Yeah, if any of you guys come out to Colorado, let us know. We'll take you out to some Rocky Mountain oysters.
Nope.
We'll go find
them. Not me.
And we're going to do it, and then we're going to report back, Thomas.
yeah, we will.
That's it for the Man Catholic Podcast. We'll catch you next time. God bless.